worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God, the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 15, beginning at verse 1. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he spoke this parable to them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I lost.' Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Verses 1 through 10, Luke chapter 15. Father, thank you, Lord, for the wonderful and blessed privilege and opportunity you give us as your children to be involved in the wonderful work of both doing the work of carrying out the Great Commission, being involved in the great work of evangelism and discipleship. Thank you for the opportunity daily we have of being vessels through which your Spirit can reach to touch people and draw them off the road to hell onto the road to eternal life. Father, more and more help us to grow an understanding of what a serious work this is you've called us to. We, your church, you've allowed us to be a part of your work and to live lives in cooperation with your Holy Spirit to help others to come to know that Christ is the answer to all problems, all challenges, all difficulties in the world. Help us, Lord, as your church, to keep our priorities straight. Help us to know that every day is a day to be involved in the wonderful work of evangelism. Every day is a day to be involved in the wonderful work of discipleship as well. Help us to be about your business faithfully each and every day. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Rick Robertson. Rick is going to share a word of prayer with us at this time as well.
Father, it's so encouraging to know that all around this world that your kingdom is advancing, that you are doing a mighty work through pastors, through laymen all around the world, that you are doing a mighty, mighty work, drawing a people to yourself. Thank you so much, Father, for rescuing us. And Father, we just praise you. We lift high your name today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Rick. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. I want to continue to remind you that my email is jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. And we wanted to encourage you to email us to get some of the evangelism and discipleship and prayer tools that we provide. One of our goals is to encourage you to be faithfully involved in the great work of evangelism and discipleship every day. And of course, these are tools that you can do that work by way of the internet. Again, both sharing the gospel and sharing discipleship materials as well. So please do email us at jparker@afa.net. We'd be glad to share those with you. We continue to remind you about our By Design Challenge, and we have a new one for the month of October. By Design Monthly Challenges are ways for married couples and their families to engage with each other and grow together in their walk with Christ. During the month of October, By Design is encouraging you to participate in the Daddy-Daughter Date Night Challenge. To the dads who have a daughter, we want to encourage you to ask her out on a date this month. Show her what kind of husband she should desire when she gets older and teach her what type of men to avoid. The best example of a godly marriage our children should have is the marriage of their own parents. It's important to live a genuine life of reverence and repentance before your daughter daily and to affirm to her that she is valued and respected by treating her to a date at various times throughout her life. To show that you participated in the daddy-daughter date night challenge, snap a picture while on your date and post it on the By Design Facebook page with the hashtag of hashtag daddy-daughter date night. And keep in mind, By Design's mission is to educate and encourage people to embrace God's design for marriage and family as the fundamental building block for all of human civilization. We want to do that by providing solid biblical articles and podcasts, and also by having challenges that will allow us, as well as our listeners, to be doers and not just hearers only. For more information on this challenge and upcoming challenges, go to afa.net/by design. Again, that's afa.net/by design. Hope you'll take the time to do that. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Today we're looking at the topic, the kingdom priority of evangelism and discipleship. And as we focus on this topic, I want to remind us as believers that it's important that we know that in Matthew chapter 28, God lays out for us what we refer to as the Great Commission. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, we're clearly told, and of course, these are words of grace, guidance, and direction, and command from the Lord Jesus Christ himself concerning the Great Commission. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20 tell us, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." Now I'm going to read those two verses again. And keep in mind, these are words of counsel and command from our Heavenly Father to every believer in all the world. All of us are called to be involved in the wonderful work of evangelism and discipleship. So the Great Commission is to all believers everywhere in all circumstances. We're to be about our Father's business, cooperating with Him. Again, Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." Again, verses 19 and 20, Matthew chapter 28. So to every believer listening, keep in mind, all of us are called to the great work of evangelism and discipleship. Once again, my email is jparker@afa.net. And we're encouraging you to email us to get some of the online resources that we provide that are for the work of evangelism and discipleship. And keep in mind, it's a blessing to know that, yes, we can use the internet and email as tools to do the work of the spread of the gospel and then helping others to grow and grow strong in the Lord. So some of the articles that we provide and share with you are specifically evangelism and or discipleship articles. So our encouragement is that you'd pray over this work. Pray that God would help you to better understand why this is so important and guide you in getting involved in this work. And email us. Ask for some of the evangelism and discipleship resources. We're glad to share them with you. And it's a way that we can cooperate with the Lord and with each other in doing the great work of evangelism and discipleship. Let me remind you something we've mentioned before. We here at the American Family Association have some gospel bookmarks that we provide there. It's a red bookmark that on one side it says 10 excellent reasons to read God's Word daily. And of course, those are discipleship insights about the importance of being a student of Scripture. But the other specifically has an evangelism prayer, a prayer whereby a person can ask Christ to save them and invite them into their heart as Lord and Savior. So it's a great tool, an evangelism, a discipleship tool. And so if you're wanting to get copies of them, simply email us and send us your mailing address and let us know you want to get some, and we're glad to share them with you. But very important that you understand this is serious, serious work. The reality is, on average, my understanding is 3 people die every second all over the world. On average, every minute, around 180 people die every single minute. And on average, every hour, 11,000 people die all over the world. And in a 24-hour cycle of time, on average, around 250,000 people die every single day. Again, 250,000 people, that's a quarter of a million people that die every 24 hours. You know, that's a lot of dying. That's a lot of people that are leaving this world. And you know, when people die, it's not critical, it's not important how rich or poor they were, what color they were, what nation they lived in, what political party they were affiliated with or connected to. None of those things matter. The only thing that matters when they die is, did you know Jesus? Did you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Nothing else really matters. You know, we live in a world where people are concerned about all kinds of things, political issues and economic issues and family issues and challenges. But again, when a person dies, none of that matters. The main issue, the issue is, did they know Jesus Christ? So that's a reminder to us as a part of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ that we recognize that the great work of evangelism and discipleship is extremely important. I can't overemphasize how important it is that we're living daily so that daily we're about our Father's business. Father, thank you for the opportunity you give us as your people, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be involved in the wonderful work of evangelism and discipleship. Father, anoint us all afresh with the spirit of evangelism and discipleship. Stir us to recognize the seriousness of us carrying out the work you've called us to as the church. Help us, Lord, to recognize that we're called to represent you wherever we go. We're called to be ambassadors for your kingdom. We're called to be people who point people to Jesus Christ as the source of salvation and the only means of receiving eternal life. Lord, with every passing day, help us to become more and more the fruitful vessels in your hands you want us to be. Father, also help us to grow in our understanding of how important it is that we're also involved in the work of not only inviting Christ to come in, but also helping people to grow and grow strong and grow up in their walk with the Lord. Help us to recognize more and more, Lord, that people need to be taught how to pray, how to read and study your word, how to live your word. And help us as the church to be faithfully involved in this great work day by day. We thank you and praise you for this opportunity. Help us, Lord, to be wise stewards of our time, gifts, and abilities and opportunities as we carry out this important work. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, today we're looking at the topic, the kingdom priority of evangelism and discipleship. And once again, as I said, my email is jparker@afa.net. If you'd like to get some of the resources, we're glad to share those with you. Also, if you're wanting to receive some of the gospel track bookmarks that we provide here at the American Family Association, we're glad to provide those for you as well. So please keep that in mind. Today, we'll be sharing from some articles we've written, as well as passages of scripture that give us insight, wisdom, and understanding about why it's so important for us to be involved in the work of evangelism and why it's important that we take our priorities from the Lord. Remember, every word that Jesus speaks through the Word of God is a tool, an instrument to teach us, to guide us, as well as to help us to grow in our understanding of how to follow the Lord. And so today, as we look in the Gospel of Luke, as well as in the Gospel of Luke chapter 15 specifically, and the Gospel of John chapter 4, we find two very important passages that teach us about the priority of evangelism and discipleship and the importance of us loving God enough to love people and loving God enough to do what he says. Remember, if we genuinely love the Lord, we're going to obey him. If we genuinely follow the Lord, we're going to be about the work he's called us to. How important it is that we take God's word very, very seriously every day. Again, today we're looking at the topic, the kingdom priority of evangelism and discipleship. We'll be right back.
So caught up that I exhausted all my ways, all my ways, and all the noise begins to fade. It's you, then everything else just falls in line. You, you will always hold this heart of mine. It's you, it's you, Lord, it's you, then everything else just falls in line.
The music of Toby Mac with It's You, a reminder that Jesus Christ is the answer to all of life's problems and all the issues of life. It's Christ and no one else. We look now in the Gospel of John chapter 4. And again, we're looking today at the topic of the kingdom priority of evangelism and discipleship. We pick up reading now in the Gospel of John chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. But he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman, for Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have well said, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." And at this point, his disciples came, and they marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking with her?" The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, "Come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" Verses 1 through 29, John chapter 4. Again, a powerful account of Christ as he encounters a woman who needs to come to put her faith and trust in him. Well, here there's a powerful account found in Scripture, and it's where the Lord himself is doing the great work of evangelism and discipleship. He's sharing with a Samaritan woman that desperately needs to be saved, that needs to come to know Christ as Lord and Savior. And of course, Jesus perfectly follows the leading of the Holy Spirit in knowing how to evangelize this woman. Notice, though, Jesus has sent all 12 of his disciples into town to get food. Now, one might ask the question, well, why did Jesus need to send 12 people? Probably one or two people could have easily brought back food for everybody. Why did he send all 12? Well, Jesus, in his grace and wisdom, as he followed the Holy Spirit, recognized this, that the disciples were too immature to be used of the Lord in this situation. They probably would have messed it up from the beginning because they quickly, when they did come back, immediately were wondering why he would talk to a Samaritan woman. Well, of course, Jesus simply followed the Holy Spirit. So he would perfectly carry out the work of evangelism and discipleship by simply following the Holy Spirit. We too are to grow in our walk with the Lord to where we're listening to the Holy Spirit to use and make the most of the opportunities God gives us daily to share the gospel and to help others to come to know Christ and then to encourage them to grow and grow up strong in their walk with the Lord. May we seek to grow daily so that God doesn't have to step over us, but he would be able to use us to accomplish his work of evangelism and discipleship in any context that he wants to use us in. Father, thank you, Lord, for the wonderful example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and how your Spirit used him mightily to draw this woman to himself. Father, help us as believers to be listening, to live in such a way that we're listening to the Holy Spirit continually so that we too can be vessels through which your Spirit can operate to help people to come to know Christ and to help people to begin to grow and grow strong once they've received Christ as Lord and Savior of their life. Thank you for that opportunity. And more, Father, help us to know, Lord, that you lay so many of these opportunities before us daily, many, many in a day sometimes. Help us to learn to maximize the moments of our day by simply listening to your Holy Spirit and following him as he guides us to be vessels to do the work of evangelism and discipleship wherever we go. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to briefly share from an article that we wrote that was on the AFA stand entitled, Jesus, the Answer to Everything. Again, Jesus, the Answer to Everything. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Matthew 1:21. And then Matthew 1:23. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And then Luke 2:11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Luke 2:11. As we read the joy and grace-filled stories of Christmas found in Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2, one truth is clear. Some of the key people in this blessed story are overjoyed to come and find the babe, Christ our King. They are excited, full of joy, and filled with wonder and awe because they have had the great privilege to come see the Messiah. Christ, the answer to all of the world's problems, has come into the world bringing salvation, peace, and goodwill. In Genesis chapter 3, the sin problem entered into the world, bringing with it a host of other problems and issues. When Christ came into the world, he came as the answer to all those problems. John 3:16 tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish but have everlasting life." God loved us so much that he was willing to give the best that he had, his Son Jesus Christ, to come live in the world and die on the cross in order to make a way for us to be saved. And he did just that. The truth is, all of us as human beings have a longing in our hearts to know and have a relationship with Christ. We just don't fully realize it. The story is told of a man who, when drafted into the army, picked up this very strange habit. He would walk around inside and outside the barracks, and every time he would see a piece of paper, he would pick it up, read it, and say out loud, "That's not it. That's just not it." After a few weeks of hearing about this soldier's strange habit, the company commander called him into his office and said, "Private, what's your problem?" The young soldier responded, "Sir, I don't have a problem." The commander then asked, "Well, what is it that you're looking for when you're looking at all these pieces of paper and reading them?" "Well, sir, I don't know what I'm looking for, but every time I find and read the pieces of paper I come across, I realize that that's not what I'm looking for." The company commander questioned him a little further and then dismissed him. The young private continued his strange habit for a few more weeks, and finally the commander had had enough. He called this strange young soldier into his office. He then told the young man, Soldier, I'm sorry, but we're going to have to let you go. The army can't afford to keep soldiers like you. If we had an army full of soldiers like you, we'd have a messed up army. We're just going to have to let you go. The commander pulled out of his drawer some papers that said discharge across the top, signed them and handed them to the young man. The soldier took one look at the papers and then yelled at the top of his lungs, "That's it! That's it!" The moment he read the papers that said that he could get out of the army, he realized that's what he was looking for all the time. Well, the fact is many people are much like that soldier in that many people are looking for something and most of them don't even know what they're looking for. They're looking for meaning and fulfillment and just can't seem to find either one. Many look for these things in all kinds of wrong relationships, and some look for them through a bottle or through a needle. Some look for fulfillment in thrills and excitement from things they pay to do or to see. But time and time again, when these individuals make the step in their lives to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives and are born again, something inside them cries out with all its might, "That's it! That's it! Jesus Christ is what I've been looking for all the time." If you find yourself searching for meaning, fulfillment, purpose, and direction in your life, and you've looked and looked but just not found what you're looking for, then look no further. Jesus Christ is the answer. Would you take the step in your life to receive Him as Lord and Savior of your life today? If you desire to make that all-important step, keep in mind it's the most important decision in all of life. Today is a good day to meet the one who is and has the answer to all of life's questions and issues. Today is a good day to ask Christ to come into your heart and live in you. And the chapter goes on to share a salvation prayer. And I would mention that we will be inviting people to receive Christ before the end of the broadcast as we normally do. But again, if you'd like to get a copy of this article, remember this article is an evangelism and discipleship tool. So the article is entitled Jesus, the Answer to Everything. If you'd like to get a copy of the article, to pass it on and share with others, simply email us at jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. And we'd be glad to share it with you. And again, keep in mind, this is a way whereby we can cooperate with the Holy Spirit and actually cooperate with our listeners as a radio ministry. We're glad to share these resources with you. And remember, there's a whole lot of traffic. There's a whole lot of people that will interact and live much of their life on the online, on the internet. So certainly doing evangelism online is a very wise and fruitful thing. Father, thank you again for the opportunity you give all of us of being involved in the great work of evangelism and discipleship every day. Father, anoint us with wisdom, grace, and insight insofar as how to effectively and faithfully be involved in especially doing evangelism online. Help us to do that effectively and help us to know, Lord, that we can reach many, many people by pursuing that opportunity. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. We continue now reading Luke chapter 15, specifically picking up at verse 11. Again, Luke chapter 15, picking up at verse 11. Then he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. And when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I've been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. Verses 1 through 30, Luke chapter 15. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession, as today we're looking at the topic, the kingdom priority of evangelism and discipleship. We'll be right back. Phoebe and C.C. Winans, Lost Without You. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic, the kingdom priority of evangelism and discipleship, and encouraging every listener to recognize that it's so very important that we as believers are listening to the Spirit of God and the Word of God and being involved in this very important work. Because remember, the greatest need in the life of every human being is to receive Christ as their Lord and Savior. No matter what else is going on in their lives, there's no greater need that any person faces. We who know Christ as Lord and Savior have the privilege of being able to cooperate with the Holy Spirit, to be vessels through which God can share the good news so that people can receive Christ and be saved. Let's be about our Father's business faithfully each and every day. Finishing the passage we were reading from Luke chapter 15, picking up once again at verse 29. So he answered and said to his father, Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It is right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Again, verses 1 through 32, Luke chapter 15. The parable of the prodigal son is a powerful parable found in the Word of God, but a big part of the message is the love of a father who is more than willing to forgive his son and receive him back safe and sound. And it's a picture of the great love with which God loves each and every one of us. The Lord doesn't want anyone to miss heaven. He wants all of us to be saved and to come to Christ as Lord and Savior, to receive Christ as Lord and Savior. And we as the church are to have the heart of the Lord by being compassionate and concerned for those that don't know Christ as Lord and Savior. We must be about our Father's business. For people that receive Christ, that we have the privilege of spending all eternity with the Lord. But sadly, for people who reject Christ and never choose to receive him as Lord and Savior, they have the tragedy of spending an eternity in a place, a tragic place called hell. I want to take time now specifically to share an article that, once again, an article that's an evangelism tool. We're glad to have you email us and if you'd like to get a copy. But it's an evangelism article and tool entitled, A Letter from Heaven, A Letter from Hell. Again, the article's title, A Letter from Heaven, A Letter from Hell. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5 tells us, But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Then Luke 16, verses 27 and 28. Then the rich man said, Please, Father Abraham, at least send him to my father's house, for I have 5 brothers, and I want him to warn them so that they don't end up in this place of torment. Luke 16, 27 through 28. The following are 2 letters sent as if these 2 young men had the unique opportunity to send a letter back to their living parents after their lives ended. The first letter, Dear Dad and Mom, it's me, Jack, and I just wanted to share my experience after life ended on earth for me. After I took my last breath, lying on that hospital bed, I felt myself rise up. I saw you both as you started to cry. I wanted so much to comfort you and tell you that all of a sudden I didn't hurt anymore. I wanted to let you know that I felt fine. But as I stood up, I noticed that my body was still lying in the bed, not moving. But I felt great. I was completely healed and well. All of a sudden, 2 very tall, beautiful angels walked into the room. Each one took me by the arm and whisked me away. We went right through the roof of the hospital, flew at an extremely fast speed into the sky and then through space. And very quickly we passed through the gates of heaven. Dad and Mom, I wish you both could see this place. It's so beautiful. I don't have words to describe how beautiful it is. Everything is so bright and pretty. The streets really are made out of pure gold. The houses and other buildings are stunning to look at. And everywhere and everyone here is so happy. The whole place is awesome, bright, and glorious. Then, very soon, my escorting angels told me, He's coming. He's coming. As I looked, there walking up to me was Jesus. Oh, he was so gloriously beautiful and wonderful to see. He came up and gave me a big embrace. It felt like I was covered with love and grace. I'm so thankful to the Lord for saving me. I'm thankful that I committed my life to the Lord and served him when I was alive. Praise God. Suddenly, I thought to myself, I wish I had told many more people about Jesus and how to be saved. I wouldn't want anyone to miss him or to miss living in this wonderful place called heaven. Love in Christ, Jack. Then the second letter reads thus, Dear Dad and Mom, It's me, Reg. I wanted to let you know about what happened after life came to an end for me on Earth. After I stopped breathing, I apparently left my body. I tried to talk to the two of you, but you couldn't hear anything I was saying to you. I looked at my bed and saw my lifeless body, although I was standing right beside the two of you. Then all of a sudden, two of the most horrible-looking creatures I've ever seen walked through the walls of the room. They were demons. They quickly walked up to me before I could yell and grab, and they grabbed me. I yelled and asked you both to please help me. Help me get away from these horrible creatures. But you couldn't hear me at all. They dragged me as I was kicking and screaming at them to let me go, but they wouldn't. They said, come with us. You belong to us now. A huge hole appeared out of nowhere in the floor, and they dragged me down into the hole. I cried out, screamed, and yelled as loud as I could, let me go, let me go. And they just laughed at me and kept pulling me down the hole. The hole was a dark, dark tunnel, ever so dark. They kept pulling me down. The deeper we went, the hotter it became. Finally, we reached the bottom. I felt like I was being scalded all over my body. I was burning on every inch of my being. The demons grabbed my wrists and clamped chains on them. They then threw me into some kind of cell. It was so hot in that cell, and the whole place smelled awful, a stench much worse than anything I'd ever smelled. I was in unbearable pain and agony from extreme heat, and pain was all over my body. I said, please, I don't want to be here. Let me out. I don't want to be here. The two demons laughed at me and walked away. In the midst of my agony and pain, I looked through the door of my cell and saw many more prison-like cells, almost just like mine as far as my eyes could see. I could hear what seemed like thousands of moans and groans and cries of men and women in agony and despair. Their groans and cries poured from all the cells. I am no longer an atheist, Dad and Mom. Though I was an atheist most of my adult life on Earth, I now believe in God. I believe in God and heaven and hell and all those things preachers used to talk about in church. I used to make fun of preachers and laugh at them and call them ignorant fools. Now I realize they were right, every one of them, as they preached the Bible. And I wish now that I had just one more day to be alive, one more day to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. I wish if only I had one more day, I would listen to the gospel and run to give my life to Christ. But for me, Dad and Mom, it's too late. Dad and Mom, please tell my brothers and sisters, cousins and others, tell all my friends, give your lives to Jesus Christ today. Don't wait another day. This place is so terrible, just so awful. Don't come here. Get saved. Don't make the mistake I made. Give your life to Christ today. Don't come down here. Your son, Reg. If you desire to come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, to spend eternity in heaven with him and avoid spending eternity in hell, you can. In order to make that step, we invite you to pray this or a similar prayer and invite Christ into your heart and commit your life to him. And as usual, in the last few moments of the broadcast, if you're someone who's listening and you know you're not saved, or you're not sure how you stand, where you stand, if you'd like to make that step to receive Christ as Lord and Savior, I want to invite you to do that now. Because remember, as long as you're alive, you have the opportunity to receive Christ and as Lord and Savior of your life. You have the opportunity to receive Christ and thus be able to spend all eternity with God in heaven in a wonderful place called heaven. And you can avoid the terrible place of torment called hell. Some people make fun and they think hell is a joke, but the sad reality is when people die and don't know Christ, they no longer think of hell as a joke because, sadly, they see the reality of it and experience it. If you'd like to pray and ask Christ to come into your heart right now, simply pray this prayer with me, if you would. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so very much that you came into this world. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess. Lord, I've sinned and done wrong in many ways. Lord, I repent and turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, in a brand new way, Lord, come anew into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Make me the person you would have me to be. You told us in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Draw me to yourself. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, please email us at jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. Let us know that you made that all-important step and that you've received Christ as your Lord and Savior. Please let us know, because we'd like to share with you some literature, some resources that will help you to begin to grow and grow strong in your walk with the Lord. Also, there are other resources we're glad to share with you that will help you to really begin to develop a strong prayer life and a walk with the Lord as well. But for all of our listeners, again, if you're wanting some of the evangelism and discipleship materials that we provide, we're glad to share them, including the articles we share today. Again, the two different articles were Jesus, the Answer to Everything. That was the first article. And the second article was A Letter from Heaven, A Letter from Hell. Simply email us at jparker@afa.net. We'll be glad to share both articles with you. Remember, one of the goals is that you would take these and pray over them and ask the Lord to guide you in sharing them with people who you know are not saved, that you'll have the opportunity to be involved in the great work of evangelism and discipleship. We're glad to share them with you. Again, email us at jparker@afa.net. And of course, the Gospel Tract bookmarks we've mentioned, AFA Gospel Tract bookmarks, simply email us and send us your mailing address. Let us know you'd like to receive some of those. We'll be glad to share those with you as well. Let us be co-workers with the Lord as we do the work of evangelism and discipleship. Thanks for listening. We've been looking today at the topic, the kingdom priority of evangelism and discipleship. This is a work we're all to be involved in. Let's be about our Father's business. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.